The absence in the crowd, the megacity breathed with life as the sun dipped behind the structures, casting golden tinges across the skyline. Dhaka, bustling and intolerant, was no place for stillness. Yet amid the honking buses, rush steps, and neon signs that blinked like restless dreams, Aisha felt fully still, lost in the one moment she had been trying to forget for times. It was the first Friday of August, just like the one 5 times gone, when everything in her life had changed. Back also, she had been a debonair university pupil, studying English literature, with dreams tangled in the verses of poetry and classic love stories. He'd been a shooter, Armin, with eyes that always sought the verity in frames. They met by accident, like two vestments in the wind that suddenly twisted into one knot. The library had been her sanctuary, and one stormy autumn, he ducked outside, drenched and shivering. A participated bench, a dropped book, a moment of awkward reason, and just like that, a spark was lit. It was no way dramatic, no way wild. Their love had bloomed sluggishly, gently, like a flower that understood the meter seasons. They had spent months walking to the thoroughfares of old Dhaka, belting tea from mince mugs, participating secrets in whispers. She spoke of her favorite runes. He captured her expressions when she recited them. They had made a life out of little effects. And also, as still as he came, he was gone. Aisha still flashback that morning. His textbook, going for a photography assignment out of city. We'll call tonight. But that call no way came, nor did any communication after. His phone had been switched off. His small tenement was locked. The photography plant said he'd gone on leave. She went from sanitarium to police station, filed reports, searched Facebook runners, indeed checked morgues. But nothing. Armin had dissolved like a dream she no way wanted to wake from. It had taken her 3 times to breathe without pain, 2 further to live without stopgap. But the emptiness no way left. Now at 28, she worked as a publishing editor for an erudite magazine. Her heart no longer contended at every ringtone. She had trained herself not to look back. And yet, that evening, while walking past the art exhibition at the Dhaka Gallery, commodity pulled her. It was a snap black and white. A girl standing on the edge of a boat, the Padma River behind her, the breath tangling her scarf-like bodies. She goggled at the image. She knew that girl. It was her, taken on her last trip to Ranchi. She flashed back laughing as he squinched down with his camera, trying to get the perfect angle. The print had no way been published. She had no way seen it until now. Below the frame, the marker read The Forgotten Breeze by A. Rahman. Her heart stuttered. Armin's full name was Armin Rahman. She scrutinized the gallery for someone, anyone who could explain. The watchman told her the shooter had transferred all the work anonymously through an agency, with no contact details. The only thing they knew was that the artist was listed to submit a new series coming month. The memory rushed back like a surge. Could it be him? Could Armin be alive? That night, Aisha didn't sleep. She took out every letter he'd ever written, reread every communication saved in her old phone. The silence of 5 times now buzzed with possibility. She called in sick the coming day, not sure what she was doing, but certain she had to find out. With the snap in hand, she went to the gallery again and induced the adjunct to give her the agency's name. It led her to a small publishing company in Chittagong, the place Armin's family had formerly lived. She reserved a ticket that same day. The train trip from Dhaka to Chittagong stretched like a dream to the green nature and the sleepy townlets. As the meter of the bus sang lullabies to her Dubaities, Aisha tried not to imagine the worst. She had spent times grieving him as dead. She wasn't ready to be angry if he'd been alive all this time. When she arrived at the publishing house, a modest setup nestled between 2 cafes, the receptionist looked at her curiously. "I am looking for A. Rahman," she said, holding the print gently. The receptionist smiled. "He's not then right now, but his adjunct will be back soon. Can I get your name?" She dithered. "Aisha." The woman's expression shifted slightly. Recognition, maybe? But before she could ask, a youthful man stepped in. "You're then for Armin by?" he asked kindly. "He generally works from his plant now. I can give you the address." He handed her a piece of paper with directions. Her fritters quivered as she took it. She stood outside the structure for five twinkles before chancing the strength to knock. The plant was on the third bottom of a quiet apartment block. The door was slightly open. "Hello," she called vocally. No answer. She pushed it open further. Inside was a room filled with light and the smell of turpentine and tea. Photos hung from clips and sketches filled the walls. And also in the corner, with his reverse turned, a man sat, conforming a camera lens. Her breath caught. He turned sluggishly. For a moment, neither of them moved. His hair was longer, his eyes more sunken, but it was him, Armin. He stood up, stupefied, the color draining from his face. "Aisha!" She could not speak. Her lips bucket, but the words were too heavy to form. He took one step toward her, also stopped, as if hysterical she'd vanish. "You're alive," she rumored, eventually. "All this time, why?" The story behind the silence, Armin, did Ent speak right down. He simply looked at her, as if trying to move himself she was real. Not a memory, not a mirage suffocated by time's remorse. The camera in his hands lowered sluggishly, and he took a shaky breath. I allowed I'd no way see you again," he said, voice slightly further than the tail. Aisha stepped forward, heart pounding, the familiar scent of the room belting around her like an echo. "I allowed you were dead." Armin's shoulders sank. He turned down for a moment, bracing himself against the table. "I nearly was." There was a long silence between them, charged and painful. "Also tell me," Aisha said, her voice establishment despite the earthquake. "Tell me what happened. Why did you vanish?" He sluggishly walked the window, gaping out at the road below before speaking. "That day when I texted you, I was heading to Bandarban for a design with original Talkie Platoon. We were covering ethnical townlets and their dying languages. Remote, deep into the hills, no signal, no roads, nothing. It was supposed to be 3 days. He broke. But on the alternate day, our jeep crashed on a broken hillside trail. One of the bus slipped. We fell into a notch. Aisha's hand flew to her mouth. I was the only bone who survived. Slightly. He turned to face her, eyes dark with the memory. They pulled me out after many days unconscious, with a spinal injury and memory loss. I was airlifted to a military sanitarium in Rangamati. I didn't flash back anything, not indeed my name. Her knees felt weak. She sank onto the nearest president. I spent months in recovery. When fractions started coming back, they were disconnected. Flashes of faces, your horse laugh, the smell of old books. But I didn't know what was real and what was Ent. My ID had been lost in the crash. All they had was my camera, and indeed that was smashed. Why didn't you come back formally, you flashback? Aisha asked, her voice laced with hurt. I tried, he said gently. But also I didn't know where you were presently. I returned to Dhaka and went to the library where we met, the cafe where we used to go. I indeed asked around at the university, but you were Ent there. Everyone said you graduated and moved on. I searched your name on Facebook, but it was killed. Aisha looked down. She had deleted her old account during the worst of her grief. I didn't know where differently to look, he said. And to be honest, I was Ent the same person presently. I was broken, confused. I felt like a ghost, hanging a life I couldn't get back. She goggled at him, emotion rising in her throat. And so you gave up? No, he said, kneeling in front of her. I no way stopped looking. You were in my prints, in every lyric I read, in every moment of silence. You were there. I just no way allowed you come looking for me. Aisha's gashes eventually fell. All these times, I criticized myself. I allowed I said commodity wrong. Did commodity to make you leave? He shook his head, eyes glistering. No way. You were the stylish thing that ever happened to me. She reached out, touching his face, feeling the stubble, the warmth, the reality of him. This doesn't feel real. It is, he rumored, holding her hand gently. You set up me. She stood up sluggishly, wiping her gashes. Also, let me find the rest of you, too. He looked at her, puzzled. You said you were ain't the same, that you felt broken. But I do ain't care. I did ain't fall in love with perfection, Armin. I fell in love with you. Your chaos, your passion, your way of seeing beauty in everything. A small smile dragged at the corner of his lips. You're still lyrical. She smiled back. And you're still stubborn. He laughed, and for the first time in times, it sounded whole. Come, he said, guiding her to a shelf. There's commodity I want to show you. He pulled out a brochure filled with photos, hundreds of them, pictures, geographies, megacity thoroughfares. And in between them, sketches of her, her face, her hair, her ice-mid laughter, indeed the way she held a book. I drew from memory, he said. Occasionally I wasn't sure if I was making you up. Aisha flipped through the runners. Gash is returning. You no way forgot me. No way. She held the last sketch against her heart. Also, let's not waste further time. The two of them stood there in silence, five times melting between gifs. Outdoors, the sky had begun to darken, but in that room, the light no way felt lustrously. Beginning again that evening, they sat side by side on the plant deck, watching the Chittagong skyline color in the colors of dusk. The scent of the ocean mingled with the air, and everything felt suspended between what was and what could be. Aisha leaned back in her president, belting her capelet tighter. Armin poured two mugs of tea from a sword beaker and handed her one. You still drink it with redundant sugar? He asked. She smiled. Some effects no way change. He looked at her courteously. You've changed. You're stronger. I can see it in your eyes. You changed too, she said. But I still see the Armin I fell in love with. There was a long pause before she continued. But this doesn't abolish the pain of losing you. I need to be honest about that. I understand, he said still. I do not anticipate you to forget those times. I just hope I can make up for them, if you will let me. Aisha belted her tea, gaping into the night. I came then with questions, Armin. Questions I've been carrying like monuments in my casket. But ever, seeing you, hearing your verity, it doesn't abolish the pain, but it softens it. He turned to her. Also tell me what you want, Aisha, from me, from this. She looked at him directly. I want time. I want space to rebuild what was lost, but I also want to try. Armin reached for her hand, not to pull her near, but to hold it with the gentleness of someone who knew the value of what he'd nearly lost ever. I'll stay as long as you need, he said. Just knowing you're back in my life is further than I ever hoped for. Over the coming many weeks, Aisha extended her leave from work. They spent their days rediscovering each other, like old runes with missing lines. He showed her the places he now loved, the quiet sand at Patna, the bookshop near the harborage, the little restaurant where he set up the world's worst coffee, but the stylish silence. And she told him about the time she lived in Dhaka without him, how she buried herself in editing calligraphies, how she tried a date, but set up no bone whose presence did Ent feel like a shadow. How she stopped writing poetry because the words only brought recollections. I wrote many lines, she admitted one day shyly, right after I saw your print in a gallery. The words just came back. He encouraged her to keep writing. They were ain't the same people they had formerly been. Time had sculpted deeper lines in their lives. But the love had endured, buried under silence and survival, staying patiently to be exhumed. One day, while walking through a secondary book request near the road station, Aisha picked up a dupe of Pablo Neruda's runes. Inside, in faded essay, someone had written, In you, I set up the place where all the misplaced effects go. She looked at Armin and smiled. That's us. Months passed. Aisha returned to Dhaka but visited every weekend. They decided not to rush into anything. Not out of fear, but respect for the time lost. They were erecting not from memory, but from the present. Also, in early spring, Armin was invited to show his work at a transnational photography exhibition in Kolkata. He wanted Aisha to curate the written descriptions that would accompany each image. They worked side by side, arguing over titles, laughing over coffee, and slipping into old habits. He still tapped his pen when allowing. She still hummed when editing. At the opening of the exhibition, the final frame was named Set Up. It was a snap of Aisha, taken lately, sitting by the ocean, hair tangled in wind, eyes closed in peace. Below the image, the description read to the bone who searched, who awaited, who no way stopped believing this is for you. In losing myself, I set up you again. Yar. Gashes welled in her eyes. Latterly that night, after the gallery lights had been dimmed and the guests had gone, Armin walked her to the sun deck of the hostel they were staying in. I've commodity to ask you, he said, nervous. She turned to him. However, I swear I'm done with brainstorming tonight, if it's about the coming gallery title. He chortled and shook his head. It's commodity differently. From his fund, he pulled out a small tableware ring. Not flashy, not perfect, just simple and familiar. This was my mama's, he said. I've kept it with me ever since she passed. I told myself I'd only give it to someone who knew how to love through silence. Her eyes widened, lips parting in shock. I'm not asking you to marry me right down, he said snappily. But I'm asking you this. Can we promise not to vanish again? No matter what happens, can we stay set up? Aisha felt the ocean breath against her skin, the lights of the megacity below like distant stars. And in that moment, she knew. Yes, she rumored. We stay set up. They didn't need fireworks or grand affirmations. Just two hands held tightly under a quiet sky. A love lost formally, but no way truly gone. And eventually, set up again.